Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you, and in just a few hours, Illinois will take on the South Carolina Gamecocks in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl kickoff at 2 p.m. And joining us now is the host of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. That's Lon Tay on ESPN 93.5 in Champaign, Illinois, which happens to be a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate station. Lon, thanks for joining us today.
Amy, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys doing that. I'm glad you mentioned that about the Cardinals affiliate. We're excited, as always, to air the Cardinals baseball games, but certainly it's football time today, and we're pretty excited around this area.
Absolutely. I do have to just say one thing I can't get over is the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, because the combination of cheese and citrus.
I think it's great. I think it's interesting.
It's a unique combination, cheese
Super
and citrus.
Interesting.
It's a little curdly.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what beer that would go with. So we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, dude, it goes with everything. That actually probably goes with Malort. It probably does.
Is Malort a Champaign, Illinois thing too?
No, yeah, it's Illinois. Like, I don't know,
yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the kids doing it at the tailgates, but you know, not to go Ricky Henderson third party on you, but Lon avoids all that. I just stick to my beer. So.
All right, so this is the fourth year for Brett Bielema as the head coach at Illinois. A couple of winning seasons already. How important is this one to them? I mean, they're playing a ranked opponent. It's not a playoff game, and I know that for a lot of teams, getting to the playoff is the only thing that matters, but this particular bowl game, what does it mean to the program?
You know, Chris, I think it does mean a lot to Brett Bielema. He is a guy that really takes pride in every game. And I know that sounds cliche, but I think you're right. Like, I don't know how excited an Alabama fan base is or a Michigan fan base is today to play.
I'm at the Alabama bar right now, and there are four Alabama fans who just walked in. They started 5 minutes ago. They do not care about this game.
Illinois played Alabama in basketball earlier this year, and we had a gentleman on covering Alabama, and I asked him, I said, would there be any excitement if you don't make the college football playoffs? And he's like, we could care less if that happens. So I'm with you right there. I understand where you're going, Chris. I think Brett Bielema would take a lot of pride in this. It would only be the fifth time in program history that Illinois would win 10 games in a season. So when you think about a program that's been around, you know, since 1900, essentially, to be able to do that, I think the players take a lot of pride in the sense that that could happen. And it's kind of strange, the parallel between both these programs, because it would also be the fifth time that South Carolina would win 10 games. So I know that that program is probably looking forward to this game. I truly believe that of all the bowl games and off the college football playoff games, I truly believe that these two teams are really hungry to win this game today.
You know, we talked about some of the bigger name players not playing in Mizzou's bowl game yesterday, right? Whether it be because of the draft or the transfer portal. How does that play into this game? I know some top players on both sides are not playing today. How does that affect the game in your mind?
I think it does affect it on both sides. I know I went to the ReliaQuest Bowl 2 years ago down in Tampa, and a lot of guys, Chase Brown, a lot of the Illini guys, Devin Witherspoon, they sat that game out, and I'm pretty sure Mississippi State had the same. But today, while I'm with you on that, Amy, I think there's only maybe three major guys that are sitting this out for both sides. Of course, Illinois, Pat Bryant, who was their stud receiver, he was the guy that Luke Altmyer really counted on, had 10 touchdowns this season, which tied David Williams and Brandon Lloyd for the all-time season record. So they're going to miss Pat Bryant. I mean, he was a guy that was good for 6 to 8 catches really tough catches down the sideline or for first down. Seneca Illinois will miss them. And then, of course, on the other side, Raheem Sanders, the starting running back out for South Carolina. But more importantly, Kyle Kennard, who is the defensive player of the year for South Carolina, is sitting this one out. So I do agree, Amy, that it's going to make a difference. But it's almost like not a ton of guys are sitting out to where I think it's kind of fair going into this one.
That's just the nature of bowl games now, that these players have taken more agency in their careers, whether it's collegiate right. career or they think they might go pro at some point. So they're going to take care of themselves if they're not in a playoff game. And my impression is people are they're more sympathetic to that than they used to be. And I mean the fan bases. They're more sympathetic to players opting out of bowl games than they used to be. Do you feel that way, or do you think that these guys, if they are in, it doesn't matter what the bowl is or if it's a playoff or not, they should play? How do you feel about it?
I'm 100% with you that the fans are coming around on it, Chris, because I know 2 years ago, first of all, Illinois is not used to this stuff, right? We're not used to playing in New Year's bowl games. And I don't mean that bad against the program. They've had a lot of good years in my time of covering them, including winning a Big Ten title in 01. You know, I've been to a Rose Bowl since, but 2 years ago, when a lot of the Illinois players sat out, it really frustrated a lot of our Illini fan base, and we heard it all about it. We heard all about it on our radio show, but it seems like now it's a little bit more understandable. And I know a lot of people are saying, okay, well, now we've got the NIL going, and these guys are getting paid. Maybe they should have to play in bowl games. Maybe that's something that they should have to tie in. And, of course, revenue sharing is now going to start this next year, and nobody understands really how that's going to work. So maybe they tie that in, Chris. But, you know, it's frustrating. I'd love to see Pat Bryan out there making catches or grabbing catches from Luke Altmyer. But I also understand that he's got a chance to be maybe a top three round pick in the NFL. And if he would get hurt today, you know, you'd feel horrible for that. So I understand it, but I still know a lot of fans that are pretty frustrated when they sit these things out.
You know, I actually didn't think about that because college sports has changed so much with the transfer portal and NIL. But if you are a player that's getting paid or maybe getting paid a certain amount, should there be an obligation to play in the bowl game? You know, you're treated a little bit more like a pro athlete with a contract. Is that fair, or is that jeopardizing the kids too much?
No. Amy, I think that's fair, to be honest with you. And, of course, I'm not in those negotiating, you know, rooms when they figure this out. I don't know if that's literally something that they say, hey, you're going to make this much money, but you can then decide whether or not you play a bowl game. And so I think that will be interesting going forward. It's crazy that just the three of us that have been around sports most of our life and just the changes that have happened in college sports in the last 3 years with the portal and with NIL, and now here comes revenue sharing. And it's crazy. Like, to try to stay ahead of that is almost impossible to figure out what is going on. But I don't know, Amy. It's funny, without a union, right, too? So it'd be interesting to see the pushback on that if teams said, nope, you're playing in this bowl game, to see kind of how that would be perceived. I assume it would be perceived in a bad way across the country if a team said, well, look, we're paying you for NIL, so you are playing in this bowl game. So I think it's better probably for coaches just to say, hey, you know what, if you want to play, we're going to obviously love to have you. If not, we completely understand.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing that I never even mm-hmm. considered, that when they're doing the NIL deals, that maybe they would negotiate whether or not a bowl game is required. I never even considered that possibility, but I guess you would have to do that moving forward. What about just the way NIL works, and from, you know, we're still pretty new into this thing, and there are a lot of coaches and a lot of programs that do complain about how it works, but there are also a lot that are benefiting from it. They're benefiting from getting the transfers that they want. What's the next step in making it less messy?
Oh, man, Chris, do you want me to explain what, you know, how to make as much money in 25 too? I'm being a smart aleck. You know what? It's a great question. You know who's embraced it? A guy like Brad Underwood on the basketball side has embraced it. And I think he is one of those where he has, you know, openly said, you can go one of what, you know, two ways. Like Jay Wright from Villanova is like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm out. I've won my national title. I'm walking away from the mess that is college sports in terms of the money wise. But Brad Underwood has really
Well, it's funny you say that, because wasn't it just Jim Larrañaga who retired? And
yes.
He said this was the reason why, but that guy left for a better job. You know, so what's – he was in one pro – he left George Mason to go to a better job. That's okay, but it's not okay for a player to go to a better situation?
It's a little hypocritical, isn't
yes.
it? It's a little hypocritical, and I totally agree with you 100%.
And the next thing coming – the thing that kind of frustrates people with NIL is – when it first started, you know, the name, image, likeness was kind of like, hey, if you want to advertise for my car dealership, then I'll pay you some money. To the point now where it's just simply, hey, if you're going to come back and be our quarterback, we're going to throw $1 million at you. You know, you don't even have to do anything. We just need you to play. So I think that's where in a matter of like 2 years, it got really murky.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, now with the revenue sharing coming, I don't know how teams are going to do that. I don't know if Title IX is going to come into play with that. And if it will, how that will affect, you know, will programs essentially say, hey, college football and college basketball are the two biggest programs, for instance, at Illinois. So we're going to throw 80% of the $22 million we're going to give to athletes at those two programs and let everybody else fend for themselves. So it's just there's so much coming even with everything we've had behind us in the last 2 or 3 years that's been warp speed.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got another thing coming at us with revenue sharing that's going to be interesting to see how it all works out. It will be interesting.
And I don't know if this is something that you've looked into, Lon, but I just – have been hearing that now this NIL issue is filtering down to high school sports. Like the consequences of NIL, which made sense like at face value when you look at all the money pouring into colleges through these athletes, that it's even complicating the athletic side of things in high school now. And so I feel like perhaps we've opened up a can of worms or unleashed a monster or whatever you want the metaphor to be, that we don't know quite what we've done yet, but it has forever changed college sports.
There is no doubt. And I'm going to be transparent, Amy. I haven't really looked into that on the high school scene. I know my youngest son is going to pitch in college. Maybe I need to start diving into that a little bit and
I don't know either, because it's so confusing and it's not where I'm at, but I know that it is. It's really, when you talk to people off the record or talk to coaches, they're like, man, it's complicated.
Oh, I think it's terribly complicated. And you know what's interesting, you guys have probably heard this, is colleges now are hiring like GMs
mm-hmm.
of football teams.
And it's
just kind of it's funny to even think about that, right? With the fact that we've always covered professional sports and understood there were GMs and presidents of operations and such. But now on the college level, you're going to hire someone to be just simply the GM of your football program to overlook all this stuff. That alone tells you how crazy everything has gotten in college sports.
That's probably the most well-known one is Bill Belichick. But isn't it Mike Lombardi
yeah.
who's the GM at North Carolina now? Like that's a whole new thing.
Wow.
We're in a whole new world here. Hey, Lon, before we let you go, wanted to talk about the Bragging Rights game, which happened in St. Louis right before Christmas. You know, the annual tradition, always a lot of fun there. And Illinois won that game. Where is that program? And in terms of where they need to be and what Brad Underwood has done so far for them?
I tell you what, by the way, if St. Louis wants to get a hold of me and thank me for the economy boost I gave to the city when we came down, both my boys, my oldest went to Arizona State, so he is of the age. And listen, that was double trouble, both Saturday night and Sunday morning. But, you know, Illinois basketball, by the way, that game, that Bragging Rights game has lost some luster, you know, in the last few years. But I think a game like what happened this season is going to really kind of, I think, spark it back a little bit, because it was such a great game. But to your question, Chris, this program's in great shape. I think Brad Underwood's got this program in great shape. He's got now a couple of kids like Kasparis Giakoumidis, who right now is predicted to go top 10 in the NBA draft. So Illinois never had a one and done. So there's a chance with him. If Will Riley, another young man from Canada, if he can kind of pick it up, he may be a second one and done in the same season for Illinois. Brad Underwood, as mentioned earlier in our chat, he has really embraced this idea of the portal and understanding that every year you can basically recruit over what you have now. So I think they've really done a great job for that. Plus, they're really hitting the international scene, where it seemed like they were a little bit behind on that, and now they're bringing in guys, you know, from Croatia and such, and are already looking at some guys from Spain and Italy for this next class. So I think Brad Underwood's got it in a great spot. They Elite Eight last year, as you guys know, and a team that is – he's challenging this team with some really good games this year, including Missouri. So I'm hoping by the time March rolls around, they kind of settle down into a team that can hopefully go on a nice run in March.
Lon, next time you talk to Brad Underwood, can you remind him that he did promise me I could sit behind the bench at a game before the season's over? And he also endorsed me yelling at the officials and getting ejected. He said it was fine.
Oh.
He told me that I could do it. So could you remind him?
I will, absolutely. And I'm guessing he would love that second part. You know,
yeah. He said I could get ejected so he didn't have to.
Yeah.
I love it. I will absolutely do it. And guys, first of all, thank you so much for having me on today. Go Blues. Let's hope that we get that done today in the Winter Classic as well.
Absolutely. Lon Tay, thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight. He's the host of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper on ESPN 93.5 in Champaign. As we mentioned, a Cardinals affiliate. Illinois taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl today at 2 p.m. Thanks so much, Lon.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Chris Ronge, Amy Mark scores with you. I've got a question that I want to ask you and Ronge. It has to do with the Times Square ball, whether or not you care about it. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. And we just wanted to wish all of our loyal listeners in Bangkok, Thailand, a Happy New Year.
I was like, what are we doing? Oh, the time zones. Okay.
Ever heard of a time zone?
Yeah. I was like, what is she doing right now? Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Oh, in Bangkok, all listeners, if you're listening on the Odyssey app in Bangkok, while they're celebrating, wouldn't that be something? That's a loyal listener. If it's midnight in Bangkok and you're like, I can't miss this show.
Bro.
I can't miss the Illini preview.
I bet we're late night listening for somebody somewhere who just randomly picked up a radio station. Like, I'm gonna find a station in America and listen to it.
You know, our biggest fans, our biggest listeners are staying at my parents' house right now. My Uncle Keith and Aunt
Your
Kay.
Family, yeah.
Yes.
That doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
They took us to Hungary, Budapest. They took us to the Czech Republic.
It only counts if it's a stranger.
Well, listen, do you care about the ball in New York Times?
Times Square?
Yeah.
No, but you know what I do care about?
What?
In Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
This year, and they may have done it in the past. They don't drop the ball. They drop a huge Taco Bell sign.
Really?
A lit up Taco Bell
sign. Are you serious?
Yeah. And they're doing it again this year.
I care about that way more than Times Square. And listen, I don't want to be judgy. I don't. But they're on CNN right now. You know, they keep checking in on the people in Times Square, the people that are lining up to get their spot. It's 13 hours away. They're going to have to wear diapers because once you're in, you're locked in for security purposes.
Right.
You're
right.
Going to stand there all day so you can be in a crowded, drunken traffic jam.
There isn't an amount of money.
No.
That you could get me to go and be there and stand there
I would
all day
pay
long.
$1,000 not to
not go.
Yeah. To not go. And that's a lot of money.
Hey, I'm only going to watch tonight if Anderson Cooper gets drunk again.
I think
that's
he might.
The only reason.
It's going to be Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen again.
Yeah, and maybe Jonah Goldberg, our 12 o'clock guest, should jump on, and maybe he should get drunk with him.
I love Jonah Goldberg so much. They've been doing little previews with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, and it's pretty funny because Anderson Cooper, remember when he was covering the hurricanes in Florida? Andy Cohen's sitting on a couch with him, and he points to a television that shows Anderson Cooper out on the street during the hurricane, and Andy goes, look at you, Anderson. He's like, you're wet. You're disheveled. What are you doing? You got to be ready for New York. You got to be ready for New Year's Eve. But I love that. What are you doing? You're wet. You're disheveled. Get your act together.
You know, I wonder if this happened. You brought this up about the ball drop in New York, and it usually, I mean, when I was a kid, they would air it live, yeah. And they still do, right? They still air it live. Yeah. They don't do it on tape delay. Tape delay. What am I?
Wow. Oh,
500 years
born?
Old.
The Civil
Good
War.
Good Lord, dude. What did
Abraham Lincoln?
That's the oldest thing I've ever said. Now, tape delay. So, there were a couple of times we would have sleepovers at my house, and I remember one.
Was this
time
like 2 years ago?
Yeah. Mom, Dad, can everybody come over? So we had a sleepover at the house, and a couple of my friends came, and we didn't understand time zones. And so I bet a lot of parents did this, where the ball drops at 11, and they say, all right, as soon as midnight, you have to go to bed. And we did. But it was 11 o'clock, not 12. They lied to us.
That's pretty funny. You have to do that. I know people who did that at 8 p.m. with their little kids. Hey, Happy New Year.
What, they just played? They played the previous years?
I don't know. Maybe they play Bangkok.
Yeah, that's what it is. Bangkok.
So anyway, all of our listeners in Bangkok, thank you for listening to the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. We really appreciate it. Hey, Bernie Miklas, KMOX sports contributor, joins us next. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
They're going to say this is 56 yards, just outside 56 yards, where Luke Bauer will hold it. Brett LeBlanc will snap it. First part's clean, and the kick has enough leg, and it is good.
Courtesy of ESPN, that audio right there from the Mizzou game. We are waiting on Bernie Miklas, KMOX sports contributor. But in the meantime, I was remiss. I didn't call out our loyal listeners. Happy New Year's to all of our loyal listeners in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
and
Hong Kong
in Hong Kong, yep. And congratulations and Happy New Year's to our loyal listeners in Sydney. They've probably gone to bed already.
Sydney?
They might be up again, you know. Yeah.
Oh,
and also, thank you for listening from Tokyo. I feel like we're really killing it this New Year's Eve.
Dude, we have done so well.
I know.
We deserve a bonus.
I think so. The global bonus.
Yeah, the
glow bonus.
The glow bonus. The Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We'll talk to Bernie shortly. We're trying to hook up with him. I'm at Almost Home Tavern in Wrigleyville. So if you're coming down for the ball game, what the hell? If you're coming down for the Winter Classic, which is
he's already had a few. He's already tipped
this place
a few
is,
back.
No, I haven't had any. Come on, man.
I.
You're blowing up my spot. No, I haven't had any. But there's a lot of people in the other room.
This is perhaps the most frustrating thing to me is that you went all the way to Chicago to be on the scene in Wrigleyville to talk to Blues fans, to represent the Chris and Amy Show in Chicago and say, hey, we're here. We care. Come talk to us. Have a shot of Malort. And somehow you managed to bring a cord that resigned you to a little closet in the back of the restaurant. No one can see you.
No
one can see you.
It isn't. Well, no, I'm in a room with a bunch of Alabama fans who have showed up fashionably late. They've shown up fashionably late to their bowl game, which started 35 minutes ago.
Speaking of
fashionably, they're here now.
Speaking of fashionably late,
Bernie's with us.
Bernie's with us.
Yeah, hey Bernie.
Hey Bernie.
I apologize. There was a
technical
there
glitch.
Was a misunderstanding on the schedule. So but I take responsibility. My fault. Thank you.
No, every day I'm here, I feel like it's a misunderstanding with the schedule.
Are you sure I start at 10?
I got this job as a clerical error. Honestly, Bernie, that's the most shocking thing. Is I don't know why they trust me with a microphone, much less the microphone of KMOX. It's irresponsible.
Well,
not sure what's going on here, but hey, did you watch Mizzou beat Iowa yesterday in the Music City Bowl?
Did I ever? Can I tell you a very quick story?
Yes.
To give it context?
You can draw it out. We've got all day.
Okay. So, Kevin Wheeler and I were doing the Dave Glover show yesterday, one to five.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously the Mizzou game was going on during the show. And I was kind of looking at the score, but I couldn't watch it. I knew the outcome and all that. So after the show, my wife and I went to Garden Glow. Then we had some dinner. Then we came home, and I was like really, really sleepy by then. And so I fell asleep. I didn't watch the game, except I woke up at like 1:30 in the morning after a nice nap. And I'm like, well, dang it, I'm going to watch that football game. So I was up basically till 4 a.m. watching Mizzou game. It was worth it. I tell you, it was worth it. We always talk about how these, and I do this too, by the way, there's too many bowl games. They don't matter. You have all these guys opting out. It's yada, yada, yada. And there's a lot of merit to that. But that was a bowl game to me that was almost unusual in these times we live in, because the intensity on both sides, a hard hitting, fiercely contested game. It almost didn't fit what we've come to expect from like routine bowl games. You know what I mean? But what a great win by Mizzou, and what a great way for Brady Cook to go out.
Yeah, we were just talking about the upcoming Illini game, which will happen today at 2:00. And, the bowl games now are a little, they're different just because you have so many players in bigger programs who are opting out if they're not playoff games, which I fully get that. I understand it because a lot of these guys think they're going to play at the next level. Do you have much of an issue with players saying, hey, this is a bowl game that isn't for a championship or no chance at a championship, so I'm not going to play?
No, I don't have a problem with it at all, because if someone opted out of a college football playoff game, that's an entirely different story. I think just about everybody would have a problem with that. But no, I do think bowl games, they're the proliferation of bowl games. There are so many of them. So many of them are, pretty meaningless. They're, to use a soccer term, they've almost become like friendlies, I just don't have a problem with it. I mean, and guys that have a legitimate chance to get drafted by an NFL team and earn a living in the NFL, I think they owe it to themselves to get ready for that. And getting ready for that means also staying healthy. And there have been instances of players getting hurt who didn't opt out. And, there were some repercussions with that, or at least it was problematic for them. So I don't have a problem with it at all.
Hey, Bernie, we just spoke with Lon Tay on ESPN 93.5 out of Champaign, Illinois, and he did bring up an interesting point when it comes to the NIL. What if you've got some of these star players and you're paying them, right? They're getting NIL money. Should they or could they have an obligation, if they're getting a high dollar amount, to play in a bowl game? Like, you work that into their contract as you would with a professional athlete.
I don't know. I would say yes if there was a contract that could be drawn up, but I don't even know if a contract is permissible under the system, because we're living in a time of obviously great chaos in college football. But short of a player actually signing a contract that commits him to playing in any bowl game, no matter what the importance level is, short of that, I would say no. It wouldn't make a difference, at least the way I feel.
Yeah, I'm wondering that, Bernie, because I don't know what is allowed. You have seen players who have it's escaping me now what university it was, but somewhere recently there were some players who were either suing or were upset because what they think they were promised in NIL wasn't delivered. And a lot of times it sounds like these are just sort of handshake agreements. Is that how this works? They're not actually written in they're not put in writing?
Yeah, that was the UNLV quarterback who claimed he was offered, I think, of $1.5 million or something like that, and then didn't get it, so he left early in the season. I forget where he went. Doesn't matter. For all the NIL stuff, right, and I think NIL is great. I think, it should be regulated a little bit. There should be better rules in place for this and that, but that's true of anything. I'm not too much of a fuddy-duddy with that. But The interesting thing about this is that even by signing on, or to use your term, a handshake agreement for the NIL, and I think it is a handshake agreement, as we sit here today, you know, college football players, college basketball players, all college athletes, they are not employees in terms of the university. They're not considered employees. The NCAA does not consider them employees. And the NCAA will, you know, go to court to fight any kind of attempt to make student athletes official employees of the university. So, no, there is no binding agreement. I mean, there is no employee contract. There is no, you know, collectively bargained agreement, you know, with all these players being represented by one big union. So it's very muddled. And you're asking, you know, great questions, logical questions, but the players have finally received some power in the game, some skin in the game, some money in the game after being the primary source of revenue for decades. With it makes college football turn into the financial engine that it is. They're the ones playing. They're the ones, you know, put their bodies on the line. They're the ones that, you know, are. When coaches leave and abandon them to go somewhere else, they're kind of left holding the bag, or at least that's the way it's been before the transfer portal. So, I'm all about player freedom. The only caveat I would put on that is that I do think at some point, I just laugh at some of these kids that, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, and I'm gonna exaggerate on purpose, you know. Oh, Johnny Football, he's in his ninth season. You know, it's like, well, what, you know, because they keep transferring from, you know, and finding these loopholes that, you know, enables them to, like, add more seasons. And I'd like to see a limit on transfers, and I would be very, very flexible with that. I mean, I don't know that, you know, I want to see, and this is just me speaking as a fan, you know, some dude, you know, basically transferring every single year, going to a new place. I mean, yeah, we as people, unless we've signed a contract that binds us to Camel X or whatever, no, we can't, you know, unless we have that contract, you know, we can pick up and go at any time. And so the counter argument to what I just said would be, well, why shouldn't a player, if it's in his best interest, and they allow as many transfers as they can, as possible, why shouldn't they exhaust all the possibilities? I'm just saying it's a turnoff. Yeah. That's all. I'm not saying that it should be banned. I just find it distasteful, maybe is the word. I don't know.
Well, we did with LeBron James and Bronny. We just had the first father-son duo to play in an NBA game. Maybe we'll have that with college football. The first father-son to play in a college football game.
You never know. I mean, no, it's just, I'm not one of the people that's like, wish the old good old days to come back. I think, man, I think players had been kind of suppressed in terms of, you know, earning. And I know the old timers would say, well, they get a college education. Okay, whatever. They're bringing in unbelievable revenue for those universities. Universities win that every single time. If we're comparing what the net value of an education is based on these colossal TV contracts that conferences and individual universities get, you know, huge cuts of these incredible TV packages. So, yeah, it would be nice if, like, if this was like Division III. You know, everyone really does go there for an education. But Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about it. Matt Pauley and I were talking about it. You know, at this point in time, it's so incredibly naive to think that players who have legitimate aspirations to, number one, play in the NFL, or number two, just who are collecting NIL money, which will enable them to live comfortably as athletes. It's really, really naive to think that their prime motivation is an education. I mean, it sounds nice. We want to believe that, but it's just a fairy tale. I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, those days are long gone.
Bernie, before we say goodbye, two things. One, tell us your thoughts on the Winter Classic today, which happens at 4, Blues Blackhawks. And then tell us about our friends at Saliga. And then we'll let you go. We'll let you go enjoy your New Year's Eve.
Great talking to you, and I'm sorry for being late. I'm looking forward to this because, first of all, Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about it. You know, the NHL's been doing too many of these games. They're all over the place now. I don't really want to watch a Winter Classic or whatever in, you know, being played in the state of Florida. No, thank you. But there are some venues and some matchups that just have undeniable appeal. Like if I hear there's going to be a Winter Classic at like a legendary baseball park or whatever, I'm there. I'm going to watch it. And especially with the Blues and the Blackhawks, you have a great rivalry at Wrigley Field. I think there would be a pull for St. Louisans, even, you know, baseball fans who aren't necessarily the biggest Blues fans. I mean, it's like, oh, man, Blues-Blackhawks rivalry. Wrigley Field, you got to be kidding me. This is great. What time does it start? I mean, I feel that way. So I'm excited for it, and hopefully the Blues get a couple points today.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you on this New Year's Eve. Ronj.
Are we having a good day?
We're having a great day.
I think
day.
We're having the best day.
We're getting close to wishing Happy New Year's to some of our loyal listeners across
in
the globe.
In Calcutta?
Yeah. And Kyrgyzstan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
So in a few minutes, we'll be, wow, thank you for listening.
And it's starting to fill up where I'm at. I am totally surrounded by people.
Yeah.
I was in this room by myself, and now they're all looking at me like, what is this dude doing in here with a headset? So it's kind of uncomfortable.
Has anyone asked you where the bathroom is or if you can seat them?
No, because the bathroom is right over there.
Okay.
I can see it. And it's all Alabama fans. There's a Michigan fan here now.
You really messed this up.
I did.
Why didn't you bring a longer cord?
He
brought a short cord, folks, and now he's stuck in a closet.
I don't even know what 40 feet. I can't visualize 40 feet.
That
apparently.
Sounds like a lot.
It isn't enough. I needed more than 40.
So basically he had to plug himself in, and he's plugged in, and he can only go as far as the cord.
Look, there are a lot of Blues fans here at Almost Home Tavern,
yeah.
And you have time. If you're listening and you're coming down to Wrigleyville for the Winter Classic, if you're wearing Blues stuff and you find me, I will buy you a shot of Malort. There are a lot of Blues fans in here, actually. So this is perfect, what we were looking for.
That's pretty exciting.
A texter, Amy, says, wishing you guys a happy new year. We have great chemistry, this person says.
Oh.
And we are entertaining. also, God bless.
This is awesome.
Nice. That's nice.
That was such a great. We need to send that one to our boss. We have chemistry, we're entertaining, and he wants God to bless us. I feel like that is... Thank you for texting that. That's a great way to close out 2024.
Right? Well,
that's
we already
the nicest text.
We already know we're great.
I wonder if that was one of our loyal listeners in Bangkok.
I don't think so.
Why?
I don't think
was
so.
Was it a 314? You could have a 314 in Bangkok.
It was a 636. Nobody in Bangkok has a 636.
They do if they move there.
So?
One of my good friends is from Thailand.
Yeah.
And he has a text thread here in the States called the text thread that will get us killed in Thailand, because you are not allowed to make fun of the king there or the royal family. And the king, I'm not even joking, the king/prince, he gets into a lot of trouble. He's kind of a party animal. So sometimes there's naked pictures and drunk pictures and stripper pictures, and they circulate on the internet, and you're not allowed to download them or have them on your phone. So they try to scrub the internet of all the king's, you know, partying ways. But yes, if you were to make fun of the king, or, you know, they were to go through your phone and find that you were mocking him, you could be thrown in prison. Isn't that shocking? In 2024,
you know,
I didn't picture Thailand like that.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect there, but it's
did you give a lot of thought to it?
I don't really think a lot about whether or not you can make fun of the king in Thailand. I've never even considered that.
But that's the movie, The King and I. Isn't that Thailand?
Yeah. Oh, I actually don't know the answer to that question.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
My mom probably knows. It's a musical, isn't it?
Is
it The King and I, a musical?
It's Yul Brynner and
that
girl.
The bald guy.
Yeah. Hey, I've been looking through all the different things that happened in 2024 that I forgot actually happened. Remember the Baltimore Bridge disaster?
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is getting a lot of federal funding, as it should.
Yep. March. You know what else happened? Remember that stupid eclipse?
What an underwhelming eclipse for us. Went up to the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I didn't even know it eclipsed.
That's stupid.
Yeah. We were not in totality. And I thought being a 99% totality would mean something. It absolutely did not.
Meant nothing.
No. The Alaska Airlines flight 1282, the door plug blew open.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was this year. Caitlin Clark was also this year. In March, she became all-time leading scorer in NCAA basketball.
Of course.
A little bit of a downer here, but the first parents were charged and convicted in a mass school shooting. Jennifer and James Crumley.
Right.
First parents.
That was in Michigan?
In Michigan, yep.
Yeah.
The first time that parents were in the U.S. charged and convicted in a mass school shooting. Breakdancing debuted at the Olympics.
Oh, Ray Gunn.
Yeah, and that was...
Ray Gunn, I think, is a... She should be way more famous than she is.
I feel like that's not true. Breakdancing will not be in the next Olympics. Hey, he's Chris Ronji. I'm Amy Mark. Score. Stay with us because Jonah Goldberg, my Bono.
I need you to calm down next
is
segment.
Joining us next. He's the editor in chief and co-founder of The Dispatch, LA Times columnist. You've seen him on CNN. He joins us next. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.